This is Sam Edwards, proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network, SurreyFarms.com.
Coming to you live from Roberta's, HeritageRadioNetwork.com, the show of shows today. We are very busy here at the Morning After. We have clips from my 24 hours at Bonnaroo, our good friend Jen Tulloch's coverage of Danny Meyer's Big Apple Barbecue, and a candid interview with, I'm saying my good friend, I'm going to jump to conclusions here, Carla Rzuski.
Yes.
I got it right.
You did.
Wine director of the April Bloomfield Ken Friedman Empire of John Dory, Spotted Pig, Breslin, and friends in-house. Don't worry, I won't ask for ketchup or mustard with my hamburger. And our good friend, Iggy Dean, is here. Hello, how are you?
Hey.
You're here later on, you're going to promote some stuff?
That's exactly right.
You could talk about it now for 2 seconds.
Oh, just playing Northside Festival tonight, the last night of Northside's music
that?
Portion.
Oh, it's I'm supposed
all,
to know that, right?
Yeah, it's like the largest music festival in Brooklyn, so it's 350 bands,
I'm sorry,
8
I was,
days.
I just covered Bonnaroo, I don't know.
I know, you were kicking it in Tennessee.
Was it in Rolling Stone magazine? That's what I want to know. I know all about the festival. Yeah. We'll talk about it later. This is interesting. I'm going to be a guest on another podcast tomorrow at 7 o'clock called the Lightning Murphy Radio Show. And I'll probably go in a little bit more in depth about Bonnaroo and stuff I can't talk about because of sponsorship here. I don't want to lose any of our sponsors. The Aspen Food and Wine is happening right now. Do you mind if I call the team over here, Team Bloomfield Friedman?
Please do.
Is that okay? Is that? Do you guys feel like these festivals, not Bonnaroo, of course, like the Aspen Food and Wine, are just kind of PR fodder? I mean, what really happens at these festivals anymore?
Hobnobbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a picture. An eater like 2 days ago of name all these chefs that just got off a private jet, but meanwhile are all trying to do the sustainable kind of stuff, but you know, 8 people flew on a private jet that fits like 50 people. It was just kind of funny when I saw that, Drew Nieport being one of them, my mentor. Okay, where do I start? I guess I'll discuss my journey to my 24 hours of Bonnaroo briefly. I woke up at 3 a.m. New York City. I flew to Atlanta, ATL, then to Memphis. Then I got picked up by a friend of the show and our friend who covered the Big Apple Barbecue, Jen Tulloch's mom, Mary Gay. Is that correct?
Mary Gay Christian Tulloch. That's right.
Yes. And
what a name.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of history behind that name, actually. She told me the whole story. I can't go into it, how the Christian aspect got into the middle name. So she drove me to Bonnaroo. I got there at noon. The whole Morning After team was there already. So at noon, the idea was we got there, we did our interviews, and then we got weird around 7, 8 p.m. because there's no way of getting anything done at that point because it really gets kind of weird. And if you're not on any kind of alcohol or drug, you're the weird person, essentially. They're looking at you like, why is that guy walking like a normal person and eating food and drinking water and possibly going to sleep at a normal time? You become the individual, whether it's the glow stick shows or the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. I literally fainted the first 20 minutes I arrived at Bonnaroo.
When was that?
3 years ago.
Really?
I arrived after like a 14-hour RV ride with 7 friends.
That's
and
the
like
way to do it.
Didn't refuse to eat road food foolishly. And then as soon as I got it, Janelle Monáe started and I thought I was dying and I fainted.
I took a walk.
And was rushed like a Michael Jackson fan to the emergency tent.
Oh, you were? Like one of those European people?
Yeah, so
Miguel! Miguel!
I used to watch those videos and I was just like, what's happening to those women? And I was just like, oh my God, it's happening to me.
I was in that section, luckily enough to, you know, I was just walking around. I wasn't there to buy anything or to see anybody. I know the section you were talking about, which is sort of the other side of Bonnaroo where everybody tents. It's like, I don't know, it looks like 2 miles worth of RVs and tents and everything else. Ran into some friends, our friend Stephen Kahn, who used to work in the show here. He was there. Interesting story I just want to tell now, you know, after the whole thing, there's specific showers for a media, if you will, and there's like 2 or 3 trucks where there, you know, there's hot water. And at the end, everyone was taking a shower. I was leaving in the morning. I walked into the shower, and you can't hear anything. And every, you know, I'm just out of it. And
it's a group shower?
It's a group shower. It's unisex. I kind of thought that, and I opened the shower. This girl was almost about to die. And I was even worse. I opened the shower. She was showering. She's like, oh, my God! I'm like, I'm sorry, I had no idea, I can't hear anything.
She's at Bonnaroo, what does she expect?
Well I was so, who knows what the hell, I was so scared that I left the shower complex entirely and came back in like 10 minutes and took my shower. So many stories of this thing. But let's get right into the interview. So we got there right away and we spoke to the food truck Oasis. And I'm going to talk a little, we'll go in and out of these things. We hit it up. This is the first section. This is the food trucks that are all around a specific area at Bonnaroo.
If we don't stop here at the 8-Box food truck, people. The music keeps pumping all night long here. You might be in between a show, you want to come somewhere and listen to some dope hip-hop? We throws it out there. We mix it up. We're like a big mix-a-potty. It's the Eatbox food truck. We got raps, we got drinks, and we got mad love for all y'all at Bonnaroo 2012.
Can I come in? Hey, what's up? I'm in the... This is Jason Colucci, live morning after here. I'm actually inside the truck. What are we making right now?
Fried avocado tacos.
And your name?
Nikisha Sambat.
And this fine establishment I'm in right now?
The Savory and Sweet Truck.
Savory and Sweet Truck. Do you mind if I have one of those?
Sure.
Is that okay? Yeah, so that was the first place. I literally, all these trucks, I walked in like a health inspector. Like, I couldn't. Like, I just went in. I was like, I need to see a manager. And then they gave me the person's name, and I just went up and interviewed them and said we were live. We weren't live, but we, you know, we played it live, what you're hearing, and went from food truck to food truck. And I guess this is about 2 years old, all of these trucks that we hit up. I'm here with my second interview of the day with Roti Rolls. Where are you coming from?
We're based out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Now sourcing.
Elsewhere.
Where is all you sourcing stuff? Is it one of those things where it's a bottom line based kind of thing and you're just want to make a buck, or you got your farmers?
No,
your farmers?
We are actually farmers. We believe firmly in the local movement. So all of our produce, whether it be the vegetables, the fish, the beef, it's all sustainably and locally raised. The bread comes from Singapore, but
okay,
the roti, yes.
Frozen on one of those big Maersk trucks that I mean, ships that comes across the Pacific.
Maybe something cooler than that.
No, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'm here at...
Well, no, I mean, that's interesting, too, because they're right. They do deal with a lot of farmers, but while I'm interviewing them, I see, like, five Cisco trucks behind them.
Good you?
Yes.
And who am I speaking with?
Kelly Daniels, the head chef, owner, and head dishwasher.
By the way, this young lady here who runs this operation is my new best friend. We're going to have to go down.
Anybody who introduces themselves as the head dishwasher, yeah. I totally want to have a beer with.
You, honestly, I feel like we get along. She's awesome.
Yeah. Proprietor, head dishwasher. Wrangler,
electrician,
plumber,
hustler.
You guys are composting back there. That's a compost bucket.
Yeah, we compost all over Bonnaroo, actually. That's the deal.
And everything goes back?
Everything, well, whatever you can.
Do you feel creatively that, does this hit you creatively?
Absolutely.
At all? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We create every day. Yeah.
No, but I mean, could you reach out to so many people?
Well, there's that, and then, I mean, you reach out to so many people, but you when you get to touch them, that's what matters, you know?
You actually feel it. You're not in the kitchen. And,
right. You get to shake their hand or, you know, see their faces, see them nodding, see their burger face.
We're here live at the Pot Kettle Black Truck. Talk to me. This is your first year at Bonnaroo?
This is our second year at Bonnaroo.
Second year at Bonnaroo?
It is, yeah.
It seems like, is this the second year that they did this section? Because it seems like every cart here is on their first or second year.
Yeah. No, this is the second year for the food truck Oasis.
Do you think Bonnaroo is, so they're doing the outside lands. They also do Googa Mooga, which we just covered. Hence why we're here now. Do you see the level of food getting better every year? It's sort of, they're bringing more and more food in with the music.
Yeah. They're very cutting edge. They always seem to go, they know the trends every year, and they always try to, you know, fulfill that. I mean, I think they do such a great job of that. Absolutely. The food it's global, you know?
Yeah. There's a ton, I mean, there was like 7 or 8 trucks in that specific area. Then we spoke to our friends.
Criff Dogs, Morning After, Heritage Radio. The New York presence is huge here. Talk to me. Day two, what's up?
You know, it's a little bit of a battle. But we're here. We're doing it. You know, it's good. It's good.
There's rumors going around here because we're the morning after we cover food that there's a secret cocktail going around somewhere that you guys have created.
PDT did Radiohead's after party last night and came up with some cocktails. Kriftog's made some hot dogs. They were making cocktails like while Radiohead was playing, like out in the middle of it all, like by like the sound booth.
Did you guys bring in all the bartenders?
We brought in everybody.
How many people did you guys bring in? I don't know if I can ask. By the way, that bass that happens, that's wherever you are, even if you're sleeping at 4 in the morning. Ask that or whatever, but 15 people?
About 23, 22.
And everyone came in on different staggered times and putting people up, and it's like, it's like you're shooting an independent film down here.
We rolled in convoy style. We had a 40-foot RV. We had a tour bus for the staff to sleep on. 4 15-man tents with air mattresses. A truck with a 25-foot trailer, a 30-foot refrigeration truck, another 24-foot box truck to take the extra weight that my driver got busted for in 2 states.
Okay, you didn't do the weigh-in?
No.
We
did the weigh-in, and we weighed way over.
How weird is that? Is it the first time you ever did a weigh-in station?
Well,
but you always drive by when you're a kid. You're like, what the hell is that? And you actually have to weigh something. You're like, all right, this makes sense. I
got
to go over.
So I got a phone call from my driver, who's 21 with a CDL license. Brian, I got pulled over in Virginia. I got an $800 fine. I was like, fuck it. Let's just get down here. My hot dog's cold. He was like, yup.
Now, I want to preface, I think this is the last interview with Carrie Black. Now, I went there to cover food. My favorite band is Arcade Fire, yada, yada, yada. Frank's, I don't pretend to know a lot about music. And we're caught off. You have to realize a lot of these areas where you're doing these interviews, you're surrounded by a sea of people. And, these festivals are so fluid that you need to really just grab somebody and interview them. Now, Carrie Black, one of the founders, Superfly Presents, I'm walking with him through the sea of people trying to get an interview. Here we go. I'm walking with Carrie Black, founder, Superfly Presents. We met 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now I feel like we're best friends. You were in the studio.
Great buddies.
We did Googa Mooga. Now we're at Bonnaroo.
Yep.
Talk to me. Day 2, where are we at?
Man, it's been incredible. We were, been blessed with the best weather I think Bonnaroo's ever had, which is always a beautiful thing. And it's been going really smooth this year. Had some really fun, special stuff happen already. We did a giant parade on Thursday night where we had the merengue salsa dog do a dance, who's going to be performing again tonight on the main stage right before the Red Hot Chili Peppers, a not-to-miss thing.
And I'm a music guy.
Here we go.
So far, but apparently Coldplay, that's all I'm hearing about right now. They exclusively gave us... I feel like I'm a part of the family now. 2 tracks here. Did they debut them here at Bonnaroo? Or
Coldplay? Coldplay's never played here.
I'm okay. Running around like fucking
Radiohead.
Radio. Sorry.
See, fire that! Radio. Fire that guy!
Put that on there.
Radiohead is really. It's been incredible. They embrace this event so completely. The first time they played, they had such a good time. I mean. Even from stage, Tom was gushing about the event. It was really special for us, and it seemed to be a really special performance for them. And so, they've been really great. And so, coming back here to reprise again has been amazing. Last night's show was incredible, as they always are.
Fire that guy. Jesse, remind her to fire. We have to fire our research assistant.
Homework,
I was going off
man.
Off the wrong notes. Well, the sad part is I heard it about 100 times, and I'm like on the way there reading it, and I'm like running around, and I'm like, I hear English band. I think of, the Beatles, and I mean, Radiohead, Coldplay, aren't they all English?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Totally interchangeable.
I cover the food. Yeah, exactly. Does anyone here read Fashion Indie? Anyone follow that on Twitter? Anyway, I guess I host a show. I put my name on it. I have to bring this up. They picked me up as one of Bonnaroo's best dressed. So if anyone wants to check out the Fashion Indie, check out the Bonnaroo section. Let's take a break now since we did our Bonnaroo part of the show. We're going to talk to Carla. Carla, you ready for this interview?
I'm so ready.
Okay. I hope I have all your information correct here. I'll double check on Google. This is
Google information.
The morning after.
Well, there comes ways and was the glowing ember. They say they burn to help remember. Like trying to hear a word that's gone after it's spoken.
The following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, thick-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com. To watch you go. Well, they say the sun is just a star, so let it die. And these tears are made of salt, and soon they'll dry.
That's our good friend of the show, Nick Africano, big help down at Bonnaroo. Jess, where, if anyone wants to buy his CDs, I guess talk later and tell me where anyone can pick that up. Carla, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a little bio here for you. Do you mind if I read it?
Oh, damn. Yeah, please.
She came to New York City to attend NYU for acting. Working as a bartender at Hearth in the East Village and learning a good deal from Paul Greco and his crew, she was hired as a bartender and yet to be opened Breslin. Ken Friedman, the owner, pulled her aside to inquire about studying of wine at the time. Were mm-hmm. you just sort of taking your own approach, or you were taking one of those ASA classes?
I took a class. I did the intermediate class at WSET, and then I went to Laura Manick, who is the corporate beverage director for
CorkBuzz.
Yeah, yes, she has CorkBuzz now, but she was previously the corporate wine director for Be Our Guest restaurants, and I was at the time bartending. This is a few years ago, bartending at Blue Water Grill, the fantastic Blue Water Grill on Union Square.
Two degrees of Steve Hansen.
Yeah, totally, totally. Anybody who's worked in a restaurant in New York City has worked for that man. And I asked her to help me. I asked her to kind of help me structure my academic learning. And then from there, I kind of hopped over to Paul Greco. And from there, Ken yanked me up.
The name Paul Greco comes up a lot on the show. Did he influence you all to push towards, you know, the wine side of it?
He, after learning from Laura and how she kind of helped me like structure this academic style of learning, I knew that I needed somehow to integrate wine into like my heart and my senses and my nose and all of this stuff. And you can only book learn for so long, and so I was like, you know, how am I gonna get this in me, you know? And so I knew what Paul was doing in the East Village, and I went and I applied, and he sat me down and he's like, why do you want to work for me? And I looked him and I was like shaking. This is so Carla. I was shaking. I was like,
because I got nowhere else to go.
I was like, I need partially. No. But I was like, I need what you have. Like, I need you to teach me how to understand wine. Because, and so without a doubt, a lot of him kind of like seeped into me. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely have it's part of his style.
But that was a big opening for industry hangout, that terroir that was in the East Village.
Oh, without a doubt.
I remember I was a young man working at Tribeca Grill, and that was where the entire wine staff would go after work at the time. We all hear about, you know, April Bloomfield, Ken Friedman, this whole world, but we never really kind of get structurally how it operates. Is Ken, who's been a guest on the show,
mm-hmm.
Is there... We have a lot of the lieutenants here in studio. Is it as loose as we'd like to think it is, or is it fun? It just seems
looser.
Like a
real, it is.
There we go.
Much looser.
And who am I speaking with right now?
My name is Jamie. I'm the general manager at the Spotted Pig, so I know firsthand just how loose,
how loose it can be.
Or as we call it, the pig.
In the industry.
Now. When the Breslin was in its infancy and talking about an opening and stuff like that, was the wine program set up, or did you come in and set it up?
I came in as a bartender. I bartended for one day, which was Fergusstock at the time. We weren't even for real opened yet. We had just done the Fergusstock, and I was behind the bar for that one night. And after a bar meeting, like a few days later, Ken pulled me aside and he's like, get yourself a pint, sit in that booth. I was like, okay. I had an idea that he was the owner of the place. I didn't even know for sure. You know what I mean? I was still very, very green. And he's like, I heard you're studying wine. Would you
would you like to take over the wine program? And I was, again, shaking. I'm like a small dog, apparently. always shaking, always nervous. And I was like, just play it cool, Carla. Like in the movies. Like I threw my arm over the back of the booth, and I was like, this is what people do in the movies. This is cool.
Which booth?
This
the booth cool. on the first floor there?
The booth on the first floor. We were sitting in there with a pint, and exactly. The curtains were closed, and it was like this little mafia moment, you know what I mean? And I was like, play it cool, Carla. This is your chance. And I was like, yeah, I'd definitely like to take over the wine program. And I walked outside, and I was like, oh my God, what have I agreed to? I have no idea what I'm doing. And so it was this process, and Paul helped for sure. It was this process of like, okay, how do you put this thing together? But it didn't exist before I started to kind of put it together. There was wine in-house that I needed to sell through, but there was never going to be a wine program per se.
Isn't that the worst when you take over a wine program and you got to get rid of everybody's old inventory? And to bring in your new inventory, and like, why are we bringing all this new stuff in? Why we're spending more money? It's like, I can't sell.
Just trust me.
Some 20 case deal that they made with Empire 10 years ago, and it's been sitting in the basement. All that kind of crap. I hate that stuff. You were at the Googa Mooga, right?
I was.
What was that like?
It was. I mean, you experienced it at Bonnaroo. It was that just.
I was.
With
we
food.
We cover Googa Mooga too, but you were there. You were busy.
Yep.
But was it? Day one, was it different for the beverage community than for the food community? Because the food ran out.
I think for the beverage community.
Not at the Spotted Pig, the food did not run out.
It did not. No,
no, it didn't. And it they did were not. The last people serving food.
We were serving after hours, the only booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, the Roberta's pizza trenches. Didn't run out. This is a good show to do. Who actually ran out day one? Because everyone now, it's
people.
Like, who cares? I mean, this is like 40,000 Park Slope people with their kids. You know, what the hell? It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to run out of food eventually.
I think for the beverage department, everyone pouring wine there, we all knew what we were in for. You know what I mean? Like, we all had a feel about, okay, this could be a shit show. Like, forget about it. Let's all hang out. Like, we all like each other. We know each other.
Yeah.
Everybody here was pouring sherry with me. It was for us specifically, for like our little pocket of that tent. I loved it. It was amazing. I had a fantastic time. And it was like you were hanging out with your friends and you're tasting your friends' wine and you get to teach people.
Yeah, it's one time it. You get to see people that work all the time as much as you.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Southern California originally.
And you didn't go to USC for film school?
Oh,
you went to NYU?
No.
Or UCLA or
Cal Art?
Not
for
whatever.
Film school. I came out here for theater.
Theater
for acting.
At TIFF.
Yeah. I was done. I never loved California. Sorry, Dad. Moved. I've been in the city here for around 10 and a half years or so. So I left as soon as I could.
Well, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll continue this interview, but then we're going to play some clips from our Big Apple Barbecue. We sent a correspondent out there last week because we were too busy. We had our entire staff covering Bonnaroo.
Not a bad place to be.
Morning after.
The walls are warm with the sunlight from the day. I'll let the salt dry to my skin, I'll wait and bathe. I'll never let go of the yellow sea. Your blue eyes hold. Trust we're here, trust we can go. If we wish, dark water is safe. And it's sacred. Them free.
Carl, every time I have your name, I have to respell it each section. So I'm like cutting and pasting you down. You were just asking me a question during the break.
Yeah, I was wondering for these, you had specific passes when you went to Bonnaroo. And was the experience of being at Bonnaroo with these passes different than like being a groundling at Bonnaroo? You know what I mean?
Tents. I said if you suffer from anxiety, it's the perfect thing. Because you go out there and you're like, wow, there's a lot of people here. And then you start thinking, like, somebody works in operations, like myself, like, you start thinking about, what if something happens? Like, where does everybody run?
And then you're like, I don't know.
Where does everybody run? You don't. You're in the middle of a field with thousands of people. You don't run anywhere.
Exactly. So there's like there was an area where all the old people were. I guess like the parents of Anthony Kiedis and Flea or whatever they were watching. I was at that
amazing.
In front of them. I was the only guy, young guy watching every concert on a TV in the one tent, the media tent. And I felt perfectly happy there. Eventually, once in a while, I would rush out and see them and be like, "Hey, you guys, what are you doing?" And try
you're
to
like,
get
like Coldplay.
I'm like, is Coldplay on yet? Is Coldplay on yet? They're like, no. Keith, can you put your mic on in there? That's the Keith, producer.
What's average. Up, Jason?
You were talking about doing a wine show. Carla, you should do a wine show on the Heritage Radio Network.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but
yeah, we'll talk later, Jason.
We're going to negotiate this.
This man.
Carla is an amazing guest here, and I just, you don't get too many good guests in this thing. I'm just kidding.
I do want to say that Carla, she sold me some wine at the Breslin a long time ago, probably 2008, 2009, does
she
that
wears,
make sense?
Yeah, she does. She wears glasses on the floor.
I just got contacts.
But when I ate there, you had glasses on the floor.
That's true.
You have those, like the girl from those, what's that insurance commercial? She's like always like really wacky.
Flow,
yeah. You had those those flow glasses that you wear. Oh, young man. Here
in the business, you either have to be wearing a tie or glasses to be taken seriously. That's not true. Or tattoos if you really want to go.
And
then
you have a big article about that. They ask you questions about what you have to wear. I mean, I think I think the Paul Grecos of the world, whoever else you want to put in there, debunk that whole myth of wine with terroirs and whatever. What other, sort of wine experience, Lindsay, would you say has sort of taken the air out of 3- and 4-star dining? Any places that come to mind?
I don't know. I just feel like Lambrusco and Rosé just coming back in and being like super hip and popular and sort of like trying to show everybody up.
Lambrusco, it's like, 3 becoming the new 2 and 2 becoming the new 1 kind of thing. Yeah. No, I remember Lambrusco last year, first place I remember seeing at Polino's.
Mm-hmm.
Keith McNally had like 5 Lambruscos on there. Talk to me about, you have any, what are you pouring at some of the spots? Is there a specific different focus on each property, or is it all pretty well rounded?
There are 3 totally different. I mean, it's like having kids. Like, they have very different personalities. You know what I mean? The staff has different personalities. The management staff, the food itself comes from a very different jump off point for each restaurant. And so the wine, I think, has to pay attention to that. I mean, it must, you need to answer to the food, you need to answer to your guests, and you need to answer to your chef. I mean, it's this like fantastic kind of dance with a chef in each restaurant about what's going to go on the menu and how it goes with the food. So yeah, definitely.
Can you give me the cliff notes for April's book?
I have not read April's entire book, so no, I can't.
I can give you the
cliff notes. Oh, okay.
Lemon, chili,
and a pig?
Salt, olive oil.
Yeah, if you take the chili out, that's April's holy trinity.
Has anyone here read the book? Or you hate it so much because everyone that comes into the restaurant is like, can I buy the book here? I have to go on Amazon.
The book is beautiful.
No,
if you haven't
good.
Seen the book, it's gorgeous.
But you guys, there's a lot of customers, clientele that come in. I hang out at Prune a lot.
Yeah.
On the first, I'm pretty friendly with the staff, and it's the same thing. Is Gabrielle here?
It's
can I buy the book? Is she here? Can I ask her a question? It's like the
can
same
I high
kind of
five,
noise.
Gabrielle?
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
But it's when somebody comes in and they ask for April simply because they want to see what she looks like, or if they want to see her behind that beautiful kitchen in the Breslin. It's awesome to be like, yeah, she's back here. She's at the pass. You know what I mean? She's actually plating your food right now. So yeah, come over here and watch her do your watch her touch your food. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So yeah. It's good that she's in the kitchen.
Lindsay Idjedine,
yes,
your better half covered Big Apple Barbecue for us.
I was with her, too.
You were?
I got my fingers
you were the
all
plus
sticky.
You were the plus one?
I was the plus one.
That was a big negotiation with Danny Meyer's people. It was like,
thank you.
Yes, hi, can, we haven't heard back. I'm at Bonnaroo. Did you guys get your passes and everything?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, Jen got a pass. It was fine.
You were there.
I got my ribs. I was happy.
Okay, great. Keith, do we got that all queued up? All right, let's play the clip from Gentella covering the Big Apple Barbecue last weekend.
While we were heading to the moon at Bonnaroo, morning after correspondent Jen Tullock was in New York hanging with pit masters at the Big Apple Barbecue. First, she caught up with Blue Smoke chef de cuisine Eddie Montalvo for a little Big Apple barbecue history.
We're here with Eddie. We're at Big Apple Barbecue. Could you just tell me a little bit about the history and what your involvement's been this year?
Well, our involvement this year is this giant tent that we cannot seem to keep control of. It's turned into one giant party.
Yeah, it looks like
The history of this place is Kenny Callahan with a few other pitmasters started 10 years ago, and when it was actually a block party on 27th Street, and we served, I think, 6,000 people that year, and this year marks the 10th year, and I think we're upwards of 200,000 plus visitors.
That's fantastic.
And for dessert? Barbecue god and Blue Smoke consultant Mike Mills shares his inspiration.
I'm here with the legendary Mike Mills, founder of Big Apple Barbecue, the man of the hour. Mike, I'm sure we both grew up going to barbecues, family barbecues on Sunday. I'm from Kentucky. It's a very big part of my home culture.
Right.
What's your earliest barbecue memory?
When I was standing in my crib, looking out the window, and my father in the backyard barbecuing over a brick pit. My dad would barbecue because barbecue didn't used to be fine cuts of meat like it is now. It used to be what you would call off bars. Rib was, that was trash.
Right.
Until they learned how to barbecue and make them so tasty like they are now. But I can still visualize this in my own mind today.
Wow, that's a beautiful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
From the barbecue pit to the mosh pit, I'm Jesse Kiefer with The Morning After on Heritage Radio Network.
Lindsay, you were also there, right? I mean, talk to me. Give me the
Port-a-Johns were nicer at the barbecue than they were at Bonnaroo. I'll say that.
Well, we heard them. What was that in the background? Was that the sewer system sucking it out or something?
At Bonnaroo or at the
just in the background. It was a lot of...
I think it was just tons and tons of grills being... powered by hydraulic white noise.
And that's a fun event, right? I mean, it's a whole... Isn't it the entire block?
Yeah, it's huge. It's apparently... It's what? The biggest barbecue in the history of the universe? Like, that's an actual statistic?
Since the caveman times, yeah.
Yes, of course.
The... can you talk... What time did you guys... Yeah, what time did you guys get there? Because you were covering it independently from The Morning After. I don't want to contact the HR department for the show, but you guys were specifically there to cover.
Oh, yes.
What time did you guys get there?
We were official press. We were there probably a little afternoon.
Perfect.
And it was... I mean, it was insane. It was insanity. People were waiting like 3 hours on particular lines to get things, fried pies,
and it's
dry ribs, wet ribs.
Everyone flown in from all over the country. There, yeah. Danny Meyer's the host. I don't know this. I'm asking you. Maybe you found out. Did this start after he opened Blue Smoke, or was this?
I think so.
Probably, yeah. Right?
I imagine so. I think they were sort of like the herald of it, like.
And you're here to actually talk about the Northside Festival.
Yes, I am. Tons of outside activities.
To the 21st.
But I guess this is inside. Northside Festival, really thrilled to be a part of it. It's run by the founders of the Elle Magazine, Brooklyn Magazine. And this year it's 350 plus bands. GZA was headlining from the Wu-Tang Clan, Questlove. Ghostface Killer.
They're like, what is up with the Roots? They're like the Killing Walmart of bands. They're everywhere. I mean, literally, they are everywhere. Yeah. Bonnaroo, they're Jimmy Fallon. You can't escape. I mean, listen. They're everywhere. They're on a food competition. If you go bowling in Williamsburg, you might see Questlove.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like the band. Yeah. The original of the band, the Last Waltz, Scorsese. Right. They're like they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And these guys complain that they moved to New York because they want to get away from, they wanted to be close to their families, but now they want to get as far away from being around their families, it seems like.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I was, trying to, tell my mom that this was a big deal, that Iggy Dean was playing, and she was like, oh, that's cute, and I was just like, Mom, GZA's playing from the Wu-Tang Clan, and she was just like,
I'm from Staten Island, so
did your mom know who GZA was?
No, but I was just I was like, remember that guy, Old Dirty B, who died, and he was
mom,
in that
do you
band,
remember?
Or whatever, but anyway, so yeah, Iggy Dean is playing tonight, it's the last night of the festival, playing at Trash Bar in Williamsburg, and the cool thing about Trash Bar, it's
open bar
from 8 to 9, because at first they were like, alright, you're going to open the night off, and always, when you're the opener, you're like, the crowd's going to probably be pretty thin, but I'm like, oh, open bar 8 to 9, perfect.
There's a track I always play on my iPhone that you have, it's called Bang Bang Sun,
mm-hmm.
by, what was that song about?
It was about, actually, going, it's about a couple things, but specifically about a trip to the Natural History Museum and watching Journey to the Stars at the planetarium narrated by Whoopi Goldberg.
Were you sober at the time?
I was totally sober, believe it or not.
No, I'm just asking.
And I've seen that show both sober and herbally enhanced, and it's just as potent sober. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg narrates the birth and death of stars, and it's really cool.
So you feel like you're watching Ghost?
Sort of, yeah. And, you know, like the line, I've got a teaspoon of Bang Bang Sun, like, we literally all have a teaspoon worth. That's a
of
pretty
the sun, of the Big Bang. The Big Bang, the singularity that happened to start the creation of,
that's right,
of us. Here of we us. Are. All right, on that small note, let's take a break. Let's come back. I'm going to open up the forum to everybody here. We have a who's who of the restaurant world. And we'll talk about some special guests. Here we go. My favorite song right there. Morning After.
Want to do backup tonight?
Do I? It's open bar though.
It's open bar. Oh. It's karaoke backup.
I can't be. It's kind of. I can't be like, I'm with the band. I get free drinks. It's like, bastard's not going to tip me. No, I love that song. I'll show you. I'll show you my Apple account. I've purchased it. 99 cents, I believe.
Thank you so
Let's
much.
Let's open up the forum. I just want to talk about the spring, all the new openings. You know, I don't feel like there hasn't been any big openings this year. Carla, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Oh my God, I'm so not the person to ask for this. I'm just not the person to ask for this.
No, I don't mean big I'm not talking about like what's going on or this. I mean a small experience is as small as if you've gone out your house on a Sunday and had brunch somewhere. I guess that's what I'm talking about.
Can I answer something that has nothing to do with restaurants?
Of course you can.
Okay.
You're a future host of this network.
Oh my God. Jesus. Where's
I will open contract? The form for you.
Where's my contract?
Oh. Well, I'll show you mine. Here you go.
My plan for this summer has nothing to do with going to any established restaurant. I've been thinking a lot about this. I just got back from Spain, where I was studying sherry down in the south of Spain.
As we
and
all do.
Once a week I go down there.
Well, that's your that's so your favorite thing to have after your shift is sherry,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, you've done your sherry homework on me. Thank you.
We fired that one guy. The new guy we hired was really good. Not good with English. The original guy wasn't good with English bands, but the new person we hired is really good with sommeliers and wine directors.
Well, at least you're updating yourself.
Yeah.
And there is this idea of La Tertulia, and it's this fantastic... I mean, obviously, there's a restaurant called Tertulia. And
Seamus Mall on 6th Avenue.
Yep. Shit is dope. They have good sherry. The idea behind it is that you gather your colleagues, your friends, your family, whoever you like, whether it's your family or your friends or not, whatever it is, gather the people that you love, bring good food and good wine together and sit and just kind of talk about it and discuss what's happening in life. And it sounds so basic, but I think in New York we forget about it, and we're so used to getting caught up in the new openings and the new albums and the new shoes or whatever it is for whoever you are, like... I don't know. It's go to the park. You know what I mean? That's my new favorite opening. Go to the park. Go to the park. Get yourself a bottle of rosé. Get yourself a bottle of sherry. Go hang out in the park and like play Scrabble and shoot the shit with your friends. And remember how like fucking fantastic it is just to be super, super simple. Sorry, I just said the F word on your show. I forgot to ask if that's okay.
Another fine from the FCC. Between you and Ken Friedman, I can open up another Spotted Pig with all the fines I'm paying.
I got a dirty mouth.
Young lady to your left, please, can you read it, identify yourself and talk about just some restaurant stuff?
Jamie, the general manager of the Spotted Pig.
The pig.
Went to Blue Hill for the first time.
Tarrytown or?
No, in the West Village.
Okay.
And it was amazing. The first course was just these little beautiful baby vegetables that were impaled, and then just a little salt and olive oil, And it was amazing. And that I was like, oh. And I had 13 courses and 2 bottles of wine. And I walked out of there and I felt so light and great. And I want to eat more kind of light food. I'm not going to feel like I'm going to throw up afterwards.
Is that a shot at the restaurant you work for, or is that you just kind of just taking... I'm kidding.
No, it's not a...
I'm kidding around.
I'm going to be fired after this. I'm
kidding around. Thank you.
I might need Jason. A job at Roberta's.
I'm kidding around. Was Erin Sylvester your server at the time?
What did you say?
The young lady behind you there, was she... I'm kidding around.
She says no. I don't remember. I had 2 bottles
of
wine.
And who is this young man here with the hat, please?
Alex Allen, just visiting from the Planet Wine next door.
Talk to me. Let's hear your story.
There's no story to tell.
My story is quite inconsequential.
Sorry, very inconsequential. No, as a friend of the sherry lover to my right, and we were working at the Great Googa Mooga together, making sure that people knew what a Solera was. Made special T-shirts.
It's not a car made by Oldsmobile?
It's actually a GM that's now being run by Fiat. Thank you.
Snap!
Are you from Michigan?
I am not. Chicago. It's pretty close.
Pretty close. So pretty close.
Yeah, it's a Midwest thing. we were talking... Actually, it's funny. The restaurant thing, we were talking about just in general how restaurants and owners of restaurants would be much better if they were... concentrating more on sort of like the food and the chefs who are really doing it rather than just trying to make a buck, because let's be honest, for those in the business, we all know it's really hard to make money in the restaurant business, and a lot of people are trying to just get by doing the bare minimum. And we heard some pretty funny stories about what people were doing to get through it, but it'd be a lot more interesting if
people put their hearts in it and had pride in it.
I think that's in general with food. It's a, you know, you do it because you love it. You don't, and wine's the same way and all that stuff. So it'd be a lot more interesting if people who really loved it were the owners. No offense, owners. Maybe a little bit. Well, we'll see.
And yes, young lady here to your right.
Yeah, I agree with Alex.
Can you state your...
Jerusha Frost.
And
wine at a restaurant in the West Village. Okay. The Lion.
The Lion, okay. John DeLuccia, the chef there, correct?
Yeah.
Very so hot. Speaking of hot restaurants, it's a seen and be seen kind of place.
Yeah, right? I'd like to say that my summer opening. I'm gonna take it back from that last comment. My summer go to is every other day raw. So I like to go to Lifetime around the corner from the Lion. I like to do my coconut water, my coconut smoothie, my green juice every other day, so I can enjoy as much sherry and jamon on my days, on my other day off.
So you sort of live a very balanced lifestyle every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Keith, what's up? Are we ready for these plugs and everything?
Well, I was going to say, like, a big opening was Nomad. I haven't been yet, but it's the Daniel Hume Will Gadara spot.
Yeah, so hot right
it's
now.
Our new neighbor at the Breslin.
Oh yeah, all right. Well, we got to check it out. Let's go have some sherry, Carla. Let's do it.
Yes, you should. You should. Thomas has a good wine list there.
I did wanna just let everybody know. You know, we were playing Nick Africano's music, and if they wanna check it out, if they wanna buy an album, they can listen to it on Spotify, or they can hit up nickafricano.net. And his album's called The Butterfly Bowl. And he was a huge help at Bonnaroo, so I'm super thankful to him.
Same thing for Iggy Dean, right? Mm-hmm. Correct, we could buy your stuff on...
Yeah, Iggy, yeah.
It's on Spotify, Bandcamp, iTunes, iggydean.com, Facebook.
And Jen Tulloch, I'm going to give her a shout-out, her whole family for Genitari. Does she have something coming up or what?
Also, yeah, she's got a huge thing coming up. On Wednesday, she's doing her show Pray It Away with Oscar and Jen about... a cast of characters enduring gay rehabilitation camp. It's a comedy show at the People's Improv Theater, 11 p.m. this Wednesday, the 20th, one night only. Very, very big deal. Some important people will likely be present.
Keith, we good? Can I close it out?
Let's close it out, man.
I want to remind everyone to check me out tomorrow, Lightning Murphy, to give a little bit more depth in conversation about Bonnaroo, the Molly, the people, the bands. The 24 hours. Joe, thank you. Jack Inslee.
Of course.
Heritage Radio. Anyone want an oyster? John Dory, want a burger? The Pig, want some lamb? The Breslin. I am Jason Colucci. Follow me at the Jason Colucci. Morning After. See you next week. Thanks. Cool. Burning up.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.